Mayor, it's good to have you back. Those of you who made it back today, thank you. Our second reading today is from Paul's letter to the Romans in the 12th chapter. We continue where we left off last week with the 9th verse. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In our hearing, our speaking, our living. You ever notice that sometimes the toughest passages are the ones that sound really nice? I love this passage from Romans. Paul and I had it read at our wedding. I often recommend it to couples getting married because it's great advice for those starting out in their lives together and really for anybody. We can go down the list of these pearls of wisdom. Let love be genuine. Let it be real, authentic, deep. Love from the center of who you are is how it reads in the adaptation, the message. That is solid and lovely advice. And we should all do our best to try and live by that. It goes on, hold fast to what is good, hate what is evil. Check, we've got something of a handle on it, right? We're working on it. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Keep your spirit strong. Well, that can be a challenge these days, can it? I keep running into folks, and you know how we do that southern thing. How are you? Fine. How are you? And people are saying, you know, I say, how are you? Well, okay, I think. I'm getting a lot of that these days, and I understand. But we're all trying our best. So let's keep going. Serve the Lord. We're all working on that one, right? Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Keep up a good attitude. Live in harmony. Well, we've got a pretty decent track record there, I think. Don't you agree? It's all good stuff, right? We can practice all of these and try our very best to live by them. That we've had and continue to have in this congregation some of the most fabulous models for so many of these things. I can think of folks over the years who've really taught me what it means to take prayer seriously. Folks who really know how to show hospitality, how to serve in humility. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses living and those with us who are with us in spirit. But then Romans 12 gets harder. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Live peaceably with all. I don't know about you, but I start to just squirm a little bit there. Does all really mean all? Even that angry person yelling racial epithets on the street corner, or that coworker you know who's always picking a fight with somebody, or the people who write me these long anonymous emails claiming they're the true Christian that credit me with the demise of civilization. Isn't that power? Does the Hebrew word really say bless, or maybe could it just say ignore? I can handle ignore. People can be pretty mean-spirited and divisive these days. This is a challenge. But then it gets worse. If you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch, or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Now that pushes me right over the edge. That gets my neck tensing up and my teeth gritting. The whole time I've been wrestling with this scripture in the last week or two, the news keeps getting worse and worse, so God and I had to have words. We had a little come-to-Jesus meeting, if you will. It's a little like this. I started out, this is some pretty serious stuff in this passage, you know. And God responds, mm-hmm. There's some pretty tough stuff happening in the country right now. Mm-hmm. So help me out here. How can I love someone with a genuine love that I don't even like? Takes practice. God doesn't always speak in complete sentences. But it's so complicated, God. People are complicated. You trust someone and they disappoint you. You try to be the change you want to see in the world, and somebody comes along and tears it all down. There are people not acting very lovable, you know? I'm not looking for perfection here. And basing your actions on how someone else behaves is a slippery slope. Good point, God. But could we settle for tolerate? I can do tolerate. Tolerate is when you hold your nose and eat the broccoli. That's not love. But God, we're seeing such great evil like the world has never seen before. Total lack of compassion and empathy, blatant disregard for human life and basic rights. And you never met Herod, did you? Or Abimelech, or Jezebel, or Paul before we threw him off that high horse, or Pharaoh. Pharaoh was really awful. I thought I had God now. But you didn't tell Moses he had to love Pharaoh. You're no Moses. You know, speaking of the olden days, God, I still have my list ready if you want to go back to smiting some people. Crickets. And then a heavy sigh. You humans do love making me in your own image, don't you? But you said that thing about heaping hot coals on people's heads. First, that's a metaphor. Second, Paul said that part, not me. I told him to get an editor. I sense God was getting a bit testy at this point, so I changed tone a little. God, I just get so angry. Such needless suffering. So many acts of hatred. And it seems to be getting worse. Tell me about it. Lately, it seems like evil's getting the best of us, like it's winning. There's the big picture, national and international stuff, and then there are just people around us hurting. And the lack of compassion and empathy from bias and prejudice and just evil stuff. We need something here, a sign, anything, hurricanes and violence and evangelical pastors spewing anti-LGBT venom and the pardoning of Joe Arpaio. I mean, really, God, Joe Arpaio? That's not my fault, God interjected quickly. You know that none of this was my original vision. I know, I said. And God and I were just quiet and sad together for a bit, and we left it at that for a little while. I remembered something I'd read a while back by Barbara Brown Taylor. She wrote, "When we repay evil with evil, then evil is all there is, in bigger and more toxic piles. The only way to reverse the process is to behave in totally unexpected ways, blessing the persecutor, feeding the enemy, embracing the bully, breaking the vicious cycle by refusing to participate in it anymore." I thought, well, maybe God just wants us to try. Try to surprise evil and hatred with love and goodness. Because in the trying, we might just get a little glimpse of the humanity of the other. We might focus on what's possible instead of what isn't. When we try and make love our aim, it may or may not change the targets of our anger, but it may well loosen the knot that grows so tight within us. When I take a step back from that anger and frustration and bad news, my muscles relax and my fists shake loose. Perhaps the greatest spiritual challenge we face in these trying days is to learn practical ways of overcoming evil with good. And perhaps it starts intentionally with keeping ourselves from succumbing to bitterness and cynicism and not being consumed by all the negative and destructive. As cliche as it sounds, counting your blessings really can help. Remembering the good. Praying for the enemy. I always find that if I'm really angry at somebody or some group, if I pray for them, something changes in me. We can find good strategies that make a difference. Figure out how to do creative things like the town in Germany a few years ago that got weary of every year there was an annual neo-Nazi march right down their main street of this town. And so they started pledging 10 euros for every meter that was marched. They've raised $1,200, I think, in that first year. And they used that money to help neo-Nazis leave and learn about their white supremacy and their privilege. There are towns in this country copying that. Some of them call it Adopt a Nazi program, where for every person who marches in one of these hateful marches and rallies, they're going to donate to Southern Poverty Law Center or similar group. That's creative. Like the communities that have come together to scrub away graffiti, like what you can read about on the back of your bulletin today. Like praying for the person who keeps trying to post spiteful things on our Facebook page. Like praying even for ICE agents. I can't love them, I'm not there yet. But I can't hate them either. There's such a thing as holy anger, but there's no such thing as holy hatred. I approach the Almighty again. You know, we really could use something good to hold on to. Something hopeful, a burning bush, a dove, a rainbow. And God said, look around you. Notice what you're giving your attention to. Notice more than who you're angry with. Having an enemy draws your focus and lets you off the hook from making things better, from stepping up and stepping out. And remember who your enemies really are. So I chewed on that for a while and started listening again to the stories coming out of Houston of black neighbor helping white neighbor, of Republicans and Democrats digging out somebody's house, of people who'd never spoken even though they lived two doors down from each other now keeping each other going. And I remember that our enemies aren't really this politician or that distant relative. Our enemies are bigotry and greed and ignorance and extremism. Genuine love may sometimes look like walking away from a fight, or sometimes walking toward it. Sometimes it means putting distance between ourselves and someone else for a while. That may be the most loving thing. Genuine love may mean confronting hate where we encounter it with the full power of love and grace, standing our ground, refusing to let hate be the only voice present. Genuine love may mean calling forth the better angels of our natures, including the natures of elected officials and people in our community, in our neighborhoods and families. It may mean resisting lashing out, finding a more creative strategy, or simply going to someone and saying, "How about we start over when we're both calm?" Genuine love means starting with loving ourselves, our families, and friends so we can be whole and healthy enough to not just survive, but overcome the evil of these days. So I want to invite you to do something that is more customary in the Black church tradition. Dr. Barber loves to do this. Turn to your neighbor. I won't ask you to turn to your spouse or significant other since that, you know, we don't want to start anything here. But where you're sitting right now, and say, "Neighbor, sometimes I get frustrated." Go ahead. That was one line. Now look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you give me hope." We will, in fact, overcome evil with good because God has already won that fight. God has already won that fight. And when I remember that, I can practice those counterintuitive, almost ridiculous things God desires, like showering others with kindness when they don't deserve it. I may not bring a pimento cheese sandwich and a cheerwine to Joe Arpaio, or the person who pardoned him anytime soon. But I will check myself to make sure my fury over what is happening does not turn to hate, because then the Joe Arpaios of the world win. One last thing God said. Don't ever forget for a moment that my love is genuine and complete and unending and enough. So don't give up, and don't be afraid. Amen.